Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform so you can be the first to know when an episode drops. We'd really appreciate it if you'd like and share this episode if you get value from this content. Thank you.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Jabeli and I have a special guest with me today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jeff Brown. I'm the writer-director of The Beach House.
Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
It's an independent horror science fiction film about a young couple who comes to a house off-season, finds some unexpected guests, and then weird things happen.
As what's meant to in a sci-fi, really, right?
Pretty much.
How did you come up with the concept?
There's a couple. I've worked in production for over 20 years. And so some of the gestation of it came from seeing beach houses and thinking that they were great locations for size and the fact that they're old, just a lot of character to them. And when you make a low budget movie, I always knew that the movie would be low budget. You kind of have to take things as they are, as opposed to fabricating them. So it seemed ideal to set it in a place that was naturally aesthetically pleasing. And then kind of the story of it just evolved over time. But we always kind of the parameters of four characters, one location was, I wouldn't recommend that to writers. That's kind of writing it in reverse, but that was kind of what we stuck to. And that's what the movie always was. And then my interests in science and kind of the scientific concepts of the movie, it's just basically applying those to horror. And, you know, I read a lot of horror. I'm an avid reader, so I read a lot of horror and science fiction. And so it was those influences as much as practical science of just what my interests were at that time. And then it was a very long process to get the movie made. So the script evolved along as I evolved with it.
Yeah, I understand that you started more in location management, or at least that's what I can see. You've got quite a lot of credits in that area. And then you moved into directing and writing and producing. How did that journey come about for you?
I mean, I always wanted to make my own projects, and it took me a little time. I went to film school. I went to NYU in New York as an undergrad. So I was very young. I started when I was 18, and then I started working professionally when I was about 20 years old, when I was still in school. And I didn't, my projects when I was in school, I was, you know, 20, 21 years old, I didn't finish them. So I kind of, when I graduated, I didn't really know what I was going to do. So I just started working in production. And then I believe with working on film sets, you kind of gravitate towards your personality and your interests are kind of where you wind up. I'm not a big gear person, so camera and those types of things weren't really for me, but I'm pretty independent, and I like people. So locations is kind of that, you gravitate towards that field, and it's very difficult in New York. So I kind of, the challenge of it was good. And over time I got better at it. The first couple of years were very stressful and very, I was learning a lot on the job. But in between that, I would write scripts. And so I started writing ideas for The Beach House years ago, and then just over time kept doing it. And then I made a short around 2013 after I'd written a couple of drafts of the script, and one of our producers was involved, Sophia Lynn. And we tried to get financing based on the script alone. And I think that is not the best way to do that for a director. You really need to direct a short. You need to show proof of concept. And so then I made a short in one day in my apartment, and it got into some festivals, and that really kickstarted the process for us. And it's not the short, you can find it on YouTube. It's not, it's called Sulfuric. It's not a prequel or anything per se of The Beach House, but if you see it, you'll see there's similarities to kind of what happens in the movie. And that was really what the goal was, to make a self-contained sub 10-minute movie that shows that I could convey the mood and kind of, you know, and also working with actors. It was kind of the first time I'd really dealt with some quality actors. Cause it's when an actor is kind of young or inexperienced, learning lines is a big thing. And it's when you take that aspect out of it, when the actors are in my short, they're actresses, where they just know the lines and you can start getting into details. It's like where the actress doesn't want to blink or breathe during a take. It's like, that is getting into the next level. And to finally see that was big for me. And then of course, shooting Beach House, dealing with four very different actors, it was really kind of a steep learning curve. I learned a lot about performance and how to work with people. It was a great experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, that brings me on to quite a few of my other questions, actually. I've touched on all of them. So it's really good to hear that. So you were talking about proof of concept being crucial, you know, and having some kind of body of work. How did you raise enough funds to be able to produce something quality that would lead to further funding and support?
Well, I come from, if you look at my credits, I started working on independent films. When I started in New York, it was like 2000. So the independent film boom of the 90s was going on. And that was really my coming of age, was like, you know, Tarantino and Paul Thomas Anderson, just that kind of spirit. And so that was what I was always interested in those films. I love all movies. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'll watch a big budget movie too, but my heart was always with independent movies. And so and even with this film, I didn't believe that a big budget would benefit the movie. You know, the whole product was never going to be a big budget movie. So with my short, I funded it myself. I did not, I have a little bit of issue crowdsourcing for creative shorts. I kind of had an experience with that when I was in film school, of getting money from my friends and family for my thesis project that I never finished. So I always felt wrong about doing that, because it's really gambling. You're really on in America. I think the UK is a little different. I think you can get grants, and it's much more for fiction films. You can get grants and whatnot for documentaries in the US, and for, you know, purely artistic, something that's like a gallery piece that's film, there's a way to get grants for that. But for a narrative fiction, especially a horror film, which is seen kind of as a commercial endeavor, they just don't really give you grants to experiment. So with my short, I kind of figured out how much money I could spend out of my own pocket. And I funded the whole thing. And it came down to like 2 weeks of work. I was like, I can afford just spending 2 weeks of work to make this thing. And that's pretty much how what the movie was. That's what the budget of the film was. I called in some favors. You know, I have some interesting feelings about getting favors on film shoots. I feel like you get a day with people, and then once you get more than a day, you're really taking advantage of them. And I didn't want to do that with my friends. So that's where it came from. And then it was just really, you know, I had some good help in some things, because I'm not a post person, which I think that when you're making smaller movies, the more you can do yourself really helps, because once you get somebody else involved, you have to pay them. And so my background is production and location. So that aspect is good, because I can move quickly. But when it comes down to like sound mixing and sound design and editing, I really needed help, because I don't have that knowledge. But thankfully, which is much different than when I was in my 20s, you can do a lot of this stuff on computers, on home computers, and it's very professional quality, you know. And even with cameras, like, you know, my personal camera, there's footage in the beach house, which is shot with my personal camera. So it's a Sony A6300. So if you watch the movie, there is definitely footage in there that's from my personal camera. I will say, that did cause some problems in the post, the post thing, but you know, it is what it is. The footage is in there, so we made it work. But you know, it's the opportunities for young filmmakers without a lot of money these days, especially with, you know, putting shorts out, it's great. It's really great.
I mean, it is good in the sense that, you know, things are a lot more accessible now in terms of technology. And as you say, you know, doing things from home and getting people on board to just kind of help you out, which is really, really good. You know, like you can make a film on an iPhone now if you have to, you know.
I'm a big fan of the movie Tangerine. That's a great film.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has been done. I think it's just that, you know, a lot of filmmakers, a lot of young filmmakers anyway, particularly those who recently graduated, they have made maybe a few zero budget films, but then they're, you know, they're kind of perplexed as to how to take the next step. You know, like what's the part in between zero budget and a fully funded project that gets distributed, you know what I mean? Which I think is really good to hear from filmmakers like yourself who have done something, you know, on a medium or low budget, and then still managed to get that distribution, you know, because you've
right.
been successful. So, yeah. And you mentioned film festivals as well. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience in film festivals and how that helped your career?
Well, with the short in particular, and this is, I think, I like genre films. I work in horror, fantasy, and science fiction. That is a very specific kind of, especially in the festival world, you have some great festivals around the world that cater to that. And they are not, unfortunately, all festivals are not equal. Some carry much more weight than others. With my short got into over 20 festivals. And that's also a cost. So that's something, it's not free. You have to budget, put aside several hundred dollars to submit it. It is easier to submit these days because you can just upload them as opposed to the old days where you had to mail, you know, UPS film, you know, 60 millimeter or whatever. But what I found, my short got into Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas, which I didn't know anything about film festivals before kind of that experience. And that was the one that really mattered with my short. That was what drew attention. You know, you say, well, it premiered at Fantastic Fest in Austin. That definitely gets the money, so to speak, or the attention to me and to the project. So I would advise, do your research. I think if you're making a short, I think shorts are always, especially if a short is a stepping stone to a feature, you should know kind of what festivals cater to this and treat it as a stepping stone. It's a self-contained, you know, thing that is a goal to get you to lead to something else. And so it's great that you're getting into a local festival, but as a stepping stone, that's not going to help as much as getting into Sitges, Fantastic Fest, Fantasia, Fright Fest, you know, these kind of really renowned festival. I mean, Sundance and South by Southwest are huge, but that's like a whole, I think those festivals have become very political. The agents are really involved too. And it's just a different type of game playing. And I was not going to be playing that game with my short. So it depends on what, you know, what your approach is, but I think that helped. We also got into the Independent Feature Project, which is an IFP, which is a New York-based organization, after my short, and my producer submitted Beach House to it, and that connected us with other producers, and it's like speed dating for pitching. So I think that researching IFP or one of these things that is devoted to young and up-and-coming filmmakers with kind of left-of-center movies, that was extremely helpful, and that ultimately led to another producer who led to the funding. And it was just to be explicit about it, getting the funding for the film was the hardest aspect of it. It took years. And we met with lots of producers, met financiers who'd have notes on the script, who'd have ideas. And a lot of them just were not what we wanted the movie to be. And so it just took us time to find the right group of people to make the movie. And it's not easy. You know, and it's also different in the UK. So I know that the system there is a little, I'm always blown away with horror films I see out of the UK because I feel like money goes further. I watched one called Beast recently, and I was like, the production value is great on that movie, and I know they didn't have a lot of money, and I'm just like, how, you know, money must just go further in the, you know, in the UK. So, you know, hats off to you.
I mean, I think there's quite a drive here for indie film, definitely. And there's, I don't know, especially with the horror genre, like horror in general here is so popular, so consumable. I don't know how it is in the US, but it's definitely one of the most popular genres here for people to watch. And also your audience is a lot more forgiving on production value, I feel. Like if you're watching, like, not to be rude, but like, I'm an actress. I've been in a few horrors, so you know, and the production value is, you know, lower usually, but the film will be better received than a drama, for example, you know, that could be very well written and have had a bigger budget. So you just don't know, you know what I mean? People want what they want, you know what I mean? And they like what they like. So it's quite good. It's a good genre for indie filmmakers because you can have a lot of success, which can then lead to you having more money to do other things, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the history of cinema. Horror has always been, since they were making movies in the 1890s, they were making horror films. So there's that. And they've also always been traditionally low budget. You know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Night of the Living Dead, these are the best horror films are low budget. Psycho was like one of Hitchcock's lowest budgeted films. And so it's the proof is in the pudding, you know, and that, I think for independent filmmakers, it makes economic sense to make a horror film. And in New York, I'm New York based. I feel the New York independent world kind of turned their nose up at horror for a long time. It's not until recently, in the last 5 or 6 years, where I think horror had a bit of a renaissance due to some film like The Babadook and It Follows that were scary and are, you know, aesthetically very well conceived and successful. So it's like those three things, everyone kind of reconceived horror films in that sense. And that, I feel, The Beach House is akin to those films much more than what was kind of going on before. And I love horror films that are from the 2000s. But there was a sense of irony in a lot of those films. But then there was also found footage, which is just completely throwing the budget out the window, you know, and those movies work. So if it works, it works. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. So if we were just, last question, if we're to talk about, you know, your distribution and where people can see it, how they can watch it, what type of distribution did your film The Beach House manage to get? And what does that mean for the viewers?
Our US premiere was at the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival, which is a newer fest. And right before we premiered, I got word that Shudder, which is a streaming service that's devoted to horror films, was interested in the film. And I was very, very excited by that because I like Shudder. I like the movies that they had on it. And I felt that that was a great home for the film. And it's also, I think that streaming service is really kind of taking off. I think they're putting a lot more movies, old and new, on there. And they're kind of have a specific taste. You know, there is a through line to the movies they put on there. There are exceptions, but, you know, for a horror fan, it's great. So I was thrilled when I heard that, because that kind of just solved all of the problems that we were going to have. It was like, they're going to release the film. Our film was lower budget. So sometimes if you have a higher budget movie and you go straight to streaming, the recouping of the investment becomes difficult. That's why, you know, a $10 million movie that's sold to a streaming service is, I don't think, and I could be wrong because this is not my area of expertise, I don't know if they're going to make that money back. But a film like ours, which is much lower budget, that was great for us. And it opens, you know, I think it's available on, I think Shudder's in the UK and also Australia. I know that happened. And so then on top of it, our film is coming out on VOD December 15th, I want to say. And it's also coming out on Blu-ray and DVD, which is kind of beyond what I'd ever hoped. So, you know, it's going to be out there and people can find it.
That's fantastic. Any final, you know, just one quick piece of advice for filmmakers, young filmmakers out there, you know, hustling, trying to make it?
I have a very specific piece of advice. It's don't listen to anybody. My path is my own, and there are many, many, many different ways to do it. So just, if you have a movie that you want to make, put your head down and make it. And then after you make that, make another one. Because it's your, you know, I think, you know, Orson Welles made one of the best films ever made his first time out. None of us are Orson Welles. So you have to learn. I've learned so much from making my projects, and you can't just think about it. You have to do it. And, you know, take your advice. Sometimes your friends will give you advice on a script or on a short, and they have the best of intentions, but it can be very critical and it can ruin your day. Don't listen to them. take the important thing out of it. They might give you 25 notes and only one note matters. So take that one note and apply it, but just put your head down and make the film. That's it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time.